Today on Annenberg Radio News.
The negatives for both candidates is relatively high. This is not a race among two enamored public officials. It may be a race among who's disliked least.
The California governor's race is in full swing, and the first debate is tonight. See what experts say we should expect their very first showdown to be like. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, September 28, 2010. I'm Madeline Cinto. LA's heat wave is continuing today with temperatures in the triple digits. Officials are encouraging people to stay inside. Ariel Edwards Levy braved the heat to find out more and to see how Angelenos are staying cool.
Fall started last week, but it still feels like summer break to Catherine Munoz. That's why she's at the Exposition Center pool at 1 p.m. on a weekday.
Like, it's hot, and you can't stand the hotness right now, and we came out of school early. I came over here to cool off.
She's one of many Angelenos finding creative ways to keep cool. Mary L. Patterson is seeking refuge in the air-conditioned senior center next door. She's waiting for her yoga class to start.
If I have to go back home right now, I drive slowly and I get there and I just open my windows. I have air conditioning, but with the expense of the electric bill, I cool off that way.
The pool and senior center are two of the public cooling stations offered across the city. Libraries and parks are also listed. But tight finances mean they're not always open.
Unfortunately, due to budget cuts, we're opening our doors a little bit later in the middle of the day.
That's Melissa Causey, director of the Hoover Park. Causey says the park staff didn't get any guidance on how to help the hundreds of visitors who come looking for shade, so they came up with their own plan.
We found ourselves walking around offering anyone standing around a cup of ice water. And the excitement that we received from people was just incredible. Everyone have taken, the people would stop by on bicycles, grab a cup and keep going. We'll do it every day if we have to until the heat can kind of, you know, die down.
Health officials say LA is weathering the sun well. Hospitals have seen only tiny increases in heat-related illness. Longtime residents like Gussie Edmondson say they've learned to cope.
If it's hot weather, I deal with hot weather. If it's cold weather, I deal because I have no control over it. So I have to adjust to the weather, not the weather adjusting to me.
The weather is expected to adjust itself a little cooler by tomorrow. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Residents aren't only battling the heat, they're fighting power outages. 15,000 Angelenos were without power this morning. Most of them live on the west side, but Silver Lake and Hollywood also had some outages. Even an elementary school in Baldwin Park closed for the day after its power went out. Utility companies are asking people not to use their major appliances during peak hours. Though, it's hard to ask people to turn down their air conditioners when temperatures are soaring over the hundreds. Residents found a man shot in the face on the corner of Hoover and Martin Luther King Boulevard early this morning. LAPD says he was between 25 and 30 years old. He died at a nearby hospital just before 8 this morning. Police are hesitant to label it a gang-related shooting. They're not sure what he was wearing, but residents say the man running down 40th Street was heading east. A federal judge today gave attorneys until late today to file legal arguments on whether California should proceed with its first execution in 5 years. Time is running short because the dose of lethal injection will expire Friday, just a few hours after the scheduled execution of Albert Greenwood Brown. The judge in the case refused to block the execution, but yesterday an appeals court ordered the judge to reevaluate his ruling. Tonight, rallies are planned around the state to protest the execution, including one outside the federal building in Westwood. The ACLU's James Clark calls the death penalty bad public policy because it's expensive and unworkable.
Well, justice can also be achieved by life without parole. Life without the possibility of parole is a severe sentence, and it's also a safe one that's cost-effective for the public. It keeps the public safe. If a person is sentenced to life without parole, they will die in prison.
Brown was convicted of kidnapping, raping, and killing a teenage girl in Riverside on her way home from school in 1980. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is in Washington, D.C. today, testifying before a U.S. Senate committee. The mayor is promoting his plans to speed the construction of transit projects in Los Angeles. Villaraigosa asked the federal government to help finance the construction as soon as possible. One of his plans includes building the subway to the sea and a connector to link several rail lines passing through downtown Los Angeles. This is the second trip the mayor has made to Washington, D.C. in 2 weeks. We focus on South L.A. here at Annenberg Radio News, but we know there's news around that world that matters. So in 30 seconds, here's Jessica Flores with the top stories around the world.
Former President Jimmy Carter is in the hospital today after an upset stomach on a plane ride into Cleveland. A Carter Center spokesperson said the 85-year-old is doing well and is expected to resume the book tour he was on by next week. In Osaka, Mexico, at least 7 people are dead and hundreds more are missing after a landslide engulfed homes in a remote town. And in the U.S., a man allegedly shot and killed himself after opening fire at the University of Texas Austin's library. No one was injured and police are still investigating. This is Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
It's a hot outside. It's hot outside. We had a high today of 101 degrees, even though summer officially ended last week. Not much cooler than yesterday's record-breaking high of 113 degrees in downtown. It was so hot, the National Weather Service thermometer broke. Forecasters say it will get cooler throughout the week, thank God, but expect it to still be hot tomorrow with a high of 90 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll have a live report on the developments in the City of Bell pay scandal. Law enforcement officials in LA are working to improve the communication between agencies. The police, sheriffs, and other departments got more than $150 million in federal money to improve their first response. The agencies are setting up a new high-speed network. Officials say it will allow them to talk reliably during emergencies, even when cell phones aren't working. The new system is expected to take several years. The housing crisis seemed to touch everyone, real estate agents, people trying to sell their homes, and construction workers. The market is starting to come back, and the city says more projects will be coming to Los Angeles soon. Ruth France visited a community center where construction workers pitched in to help and to call attention to the lack of jobs for African American workers.
On an unusually hot morning in September, the Paul Robeson Community Center in South Los Angeles was abuzz with construction workers. The LA Black Worker Center was kicking off a day of service to help spruce up the Paul Robeson Community Center and to highlight the lack of jobs, especially in the black construction community. David Freelow of the Laborers International Union of North America came to the day of service to support community involvement.
This is a great cause. It helps to get the community together, shows unity. It's a great cause. You know, what they're doing is refurbishing the community center to give back to the community, try to help get people off the street, try to help tutor the youth, get them in the right direction.
The Paul Robeson Community Center strives to teach cultural awareness through education and community activities. The day was meant to showcase not only the community center, but also the workers themselves. Lola Smallwood Cuevas is the project director for the LA Black Workers Center.
We all know what's happening, right? We know journeymen who are struggling to keep their homes. We know families that are really literally being torn apart because there is no income, there's no work, there's no opportunity.
Michael Curtis is one of those journeymen.
I worked a week, 1 week in 3 years. So from then on, Vegas, Oakland, L.A., Texas, wherever I could find work. Now I'm back in L.A.
While the black community in Los Angeles is 9%, 30% of the community is working low-wage jobs, and another 20%, including Curtis, didn't work last year. Yet contrary to the statewide trend, construction jobs are up in L.A. County. County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas says there are over $2 billion worth of projects coming to L.A. County.
There are $900 million worth of projects in the pipeline in the county of Los Angeles. And that does not include Expo, Phase 2, it doesn't include Crenshaw to LAX.
Curtis has faith in those like Ridley Thomas to get jobs coming back to his community soon.
All I can say is without the people volunteering for us, we wouldn't have no hope, man.
Regardless of what happens in the future with construction, and despite the heat, it was a great day for the Robeson Center. This is Ruth France for Annenberg Radio News.
The governor and other California lawmakers are avoiding talking about the budget. They were supposed to have a closed-door meeting today, but it was canceled. This is the longest they have gone without negotiating a state spending plan, with the governor's press secretary blaming unions for stalling the meeting because they oppose a reduction of pension benefits that Schwarzenegger demanded be signed before he will sign the bill. In just 2 hours, State Attorney General Jerry Brown will face former eBay CEO Meg Whitman in their first gubernatorial debate. It's a showdown of two opposite candidates. Brown is 72 years old and known for his rambling speech patterns. He served as California governor before. Meg Whitman, on the other hand, comes from the corporate world. She speaks in rehearsed soundbites and has no public service experience. I spoke with debate expert Dr. Gordon Stables earlier today about the showdown. I'm here with Dr. Gordon Stables. He's the USC Director of Debate and Forensics and an Annenberg Communications Professor. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So, one of the basic questions I was kind of wondering is, like, what are the challenges each candidate you think is going to really face tonight in the debate?
Well, this is the first time California voters really get to see both candidates on the same stage at the same time, defining why they want to be governor. And the challenges for each of them come from who they are. For Meg Whitman, this would be her first public office. And although she's had tremendous experience and success in the private sector, translating that into how she would govern and manage a public institution is different. And so I think explaining that tonight's a big deal. On the other side, Attorney General Brown already was the youngest governor in California's history. He's trying to become the oldest governor in California's history. So I think voters need to hear what would be different about this term of Governor Brown than perhaps what it was in the past, and how really can he adapt his ideas to the current problems California is facing.
And is there anything that you think people should really be looking out for in this debate tonight, or anything that you think should stand out? Or
I think the broad approach should really be how they are going to handle the difficult challenge of making do with less. Neither campaign really believes that this is a time for a massive expansion of state programs. The challenge is, how do you cut? How do you make less? How do you work through the limited fiscal situation? So I think in a lot of ways, it's going to be their approach and the way they describe that challenge. Because as much as everyone likes to vote in an election cycle for the candidate that promises the most and the best, this is one of those interesting elections where I think there's a fair amount of pessimism, not in their campaigns, but in their inherent understanding of what California is going through. And I think really getting a sense of how they would address that's going to be important, because realistically, the primary season wasn't very helpful in terms of fine-tuning those messages.
So really, the discussion is going to be based around these small minor changes?
I think you'll see changes. I think you'll see questions of character and credibility come up a lot in both campaigns. General election advertisements, they focused on how you can trust and how to know to trust the other. So for instance, they've relied ironically on surrogates that know each other and really disagree. So from the eBay experience, the Democrats have been running ads and referencing other senior executives from eBay who have come out and said they would or would not vote for Meg Whitman as part of that argument. And the Whitman campaign is effectively regularly run an ad using former President Clinton to say that Jerry Brown can't be trusted and doesn't have a track record on some of these economic questions. So I think you'll hear a lot about character and credibility, because there'll be a number of policy disputes, capital punishments, immigration, education, funding questions. But ultimately, there's going to have to be some sense of who the voters really like. And you see this in the polling data to date. The negatives for both candidates is relatively high. This is not a race among two enamored public officials. It may be a race about who's disliked least.
Well, I think that's about a wrap up. If we'd like to hear more from you about the gubernatorial debate tonight, where should we go?
Well, the debate is going to be held at Taper Hall, room 101. With our panel is from 5 to 6 p.m., and then it has a viewing of the debate itself at 6. And that the Center for Communication, Leadership, and Policy and the Unruh Institute will be putting up some feedback and some reaction from the event tonight as well online.
Okay, thank you. And that was Dr. Gordon Stables, USC Director of Debate and Forensics and Annenberg Communications Professor. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Boys and young men of color are the focus of a two-day meeting being held here in Los Angeles. The California Endowment is sponsoring the meeting that is bringing together policymakers, researchers, community leaders, and others to talk about how to improve the health of Black, Latino, Asian, and Native American boys and young adults. Marilyn Medawar reports.
18-year-old Juan Segura is from Oakland, California. Having to deal with an alcoholic father and a mother fighting cancer, Segura became a gang member at the age of 13.
So I got jumped in a gang when I was 13 years old. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that I needed some protection. I needed some love because my mom at the time was dying from cancer.
Segura is trying to change his life. He is inspired by his teacher, Cesar Cruz, who is teaching Segura about his heritage.
Because I'm actually connecting with my indigenous roots, which is awesome. I never knew we had so many great leaders. But now that I know that, I stay away from all the drugs, all the guns, all the violence, all the drinking.
But Segura's past seems to haunt him. In May, Juan was a target of a shooting, which he survived. However, his best friend was shot in the head and died.
That's some of the consequences that you have to pay for, but not only you, but the others you hang around with. So to me, that really impacted my life really strong. Right, so now I'm not trying to fight or use guns.
Young men like Segura are being discussed today at the Building Healthy Communities Town Hall. Young men of color, between the ages of 15 to 24, have a homicide death rate 16 times greater than that of young white men. Manuel Pastor, a professor of American Studies and Ethnicity at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles, says young men in minority groups are not able to get the education to be able to be in the labor market.
Part of what we need to do is to have much better programs for rehabilitation and ability to re-enter into the labor force. We really need to work on shoring up our educational structures, particularly those that are in areas of concentrated poverty where young people of color tend to go. And we need to create within those educational structures what are called multiple pathways so that people can be able to move on to a job right out of high school if that's what they are able to or choose to do.
Pastor says the two-day conference and workshops allow young men of color to be heard.
What I think I hear from young people that I think is the most significant is that they want to be seen and they want their story told. People feel like they're not seen in this society, that's part of the reason why this crisis amongst young men and boys of color is allowed to go unaddressed, and they really want to be seen and heard.
Speakers at the town hall are greeting a preview of a new book called Changing Places, How Communities Will Improve the Health of Boys of Color. The town hall continues tomorrow when Juan Segura will talk about his experiences. Marilyn Medawar, Annenberg Radio News.
La Llorona is coming to a haunted theme park near you. In English, she's the crying woman, and legend says she drowned her kids after her husband abandoned her and then killed herself. She's been wandering around rivers ever since and has been spotted by some Latin American communities from the Rio Grande in Texas to our very own L.A. River. No need to go by the water. You can spot her at this year's Horror Nights at Universal Studios. Now we check in with ATVN anchor Alexis Zotto to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. But first, give us an update on the Bell story.
Hey, Madeline. Yeah, last week, as you know, 8 City of Bell officials were arrested, including 4 current city council members, for misappropriating $5.5 million. I was impelled today talking to residents. Tonight, the 4,000th signature on a petition that will force the recall of these members is going to be signed.
Thank you, Alexis. And if you guys want to see more stories on ATVN tonight at 6 p.m., Trojan Vision. Well, that's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Ryan Nunez, Stephanie Sherman, and Esther Kahn. Stephanie Guzman is our producer. Jessica Flores is the executive producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Madeline Sinto.